Warning: this episode contains references to gaslighting, emotional coercion, and group manipulation.
Coxy Doctor, Doug and Ted, JD on the Turago bed, Phobes Podcast.
Dear friend, I miss you. I was just thinking about all the great holidays we took together, and it made me smile. I miss your laugh and all the times we used to spend together. I want you to know that no matter what, I love you, and I'm here for you, always. I know you are very dedicated to the group. I respect your desire to find meaning in life, but I want you to know I'm still here for you as a friend. If you ever want to grab a coffee, talk about the old days or the future days, just watch a movie, you'll always have a safe place with me. No pressure. You can always disagree with me. That's allowed. I'm just sad we can't talk as often, and I don't know why. Thinking of you, dear friend. The big rethink. More auto-tune or vocoder, whatever that effect is on you.
That's vocoder. Vocoder. That's a demo done at Ted's house in when he was living in Middle Park. And Ted loved that song. He was a big fan of that song. It's quite a big chorus. So, yeah, that's a song that could have perhaps, with a bit of work, with a studio treatment, could have been a bit of a big song. But, wouldn't have been, but... Yeah, I thought it's pretty strong chorus on that one. So, but never really got a look in as a contender to go on a record. Yeah,
I find it's quite different, like to some other Five songs. Really different.
Not bad, but didn't make it.
Do you like the phase effects on the guitar though at the start? That always sort of puts me off listening to the rest of the song.
Yeah, really?
Because it's so different, yeah.
Yeah,
I'd need to listen to it again. It's just so long since I've heard it, but...
What are the lyrics, "It may be time to die"? I thought, is the song about being in a cult?
It's completely references... That whole reference is all about the Jonestown thing, so...
I thought you were shifting on its head. It's time to die. Like, I need to rethink. Maybe I should actually die rather than not being in the cult.
Without the lyric in front of me, but I know there was something about it. Mentions Kool-Aid, doesn't it? Or something?
It does. Yeah.
So that's the whole Jonestown thing. So that's sort of where that's coming from. No, I guess it's more just big rethink. Not rethink for me, rethink for society, our way of living.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to Foves Are the Best People. I'm your host, John, and joining us as ever is fellow co-host, Michael. Hello, Michael.
Oh, hello there, John, and hello to all you wonderful Foves fans, great listeners of the podcast.
What song are we reviewing this afternoon, Michael?
We are getting finally to the very last final B-side, and it is the big rethink. So... let's not think that it's a downer. It's a big, huge event. Think about all these B-sides, and this is the last one. What a way to end it. This is a great song to end the B-sides, the B-side era of the Foves. I love it.
You love it. You love it. The pesky B-sides are coming to an end.
Yes, thank you. That's what I love. Not the song, just the end of the pesky little B-sides. No, I do like the song. It's probably close to the best song in the world, like when the tour went pro and Aim to Please is a little bit lower. But as I said, don't need to repeat it. This trio of B-sides are amazing, these production and how they go one after the other. So my mind has, as I was listening to when the tour went pro, and my head is ready for the big rethink, that amazing intro and this song, and it's just so different. It'd be so unique to hear the Foes perform songs like this, and when the tour went pro live, it would be interesting. I'd love to hear it, but it's so unique. So, John, do you love this song?
No, I don't think I do. It's no When the Tour Went Pro. I don't dislike it, but tell me a bit, where do you want to start, music or lyrics?
Before I get into the music, I'll just do a quick intro overview, which I think I might like to be doing now for each song, and then getting into the music and lyrics. Might be a new structure of how things are done after these pesky little B-sides. I love this song so much because it's the final three of these B-sides on this amazing single. Like, it's got that similar sound, like a fuzzy sort of guitars. The intro is like in the cupboard, like we talked about in When the Tour Went Pro, and then it opens up, and it's a very short intro. And Coxie, once again, to me, in my mind, not in a bad way. I hate saying things like this. It's not being negative or, you know, we love you, and we even love you when you're doing this. Kind of sings like he's a bit out of tune. And, hey, you've heard me all singing on this podcast. I'm not the best singer. I can't talk. We're all unique. But he's using that vocoder, which I was like, I think I was saying that on the previous episode, but I was like getting confused. No, hang on, that comes in this song. And... maybe he used it. He could have had an off day when he's singing. And I know you're in the studio, things are booked, you're paid for, or it's the time and you've got to perform. And sometimes your voice is just not on the best, like when we talked about Bigger Than Tina. And it just might have been, let's just use it. But I feel like it's used really well, tongue in cheek, a bit of fun. And I'm starting to go into the music now, which I'll continue. So muted guitars. and it's got a nice keyboard sound, a little bit different to the others. Wow, 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 wow. And it's the high quality recording production like the other two B-sides, and different type of production to Good Times Coming and the rest of that album. So there's something about it, how it's produced and what they've used to, like, if you just whacked it on that album, you go, hang on, my ears are feeling different. Like when people do mix an album, they obviously want it to capture the whole similar sound levels and everything, and they think about it. So it there's something different they've done there that I don't understand because I'm not a producer or an engineer. And that's the bridge, is just a nice simple stop, like things drop down,
yeah,
to tie the rest of the whole song together, and you can hear that bass slightly distorted,
yeah,
quality. Another unique keyboard sound coming in and a vocoder going on. So, and it's a nice ending. Do 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 do. And it's just a structure of an intro, the verse, chorus, verse, chorus, the bridge, the change, everything's dropped, as I said, and then the chorus with that end. And that's, in a nutshell, and to me, the music, and it's just got that beauty about it. And good stuff, you know. Coxie, who's, well, he's written more than 400 songs, you know, and they're all good. And this is still good, even though it's not my favourite, and I'm not going on about all these other amazing B-sides that are the best songs in the world. And it's about that uniqueness of how they were all individually recorded, where they fitted on with that single, where we heard them in our lives in the time of the 20th century versus now the 21st century, things like that. And that's what I like about following an artist long term. The Fauves do it, like I can rattle off many that are completely different styles of the Fauves in terms of they're not Australian rock grunge things, but what they've done is we're putting a new album out, we're writing new songs, we're trying something. It may not have worked for those things that sold or whatever, but, and we're exploring our personalities as a group, as a unit, and they're just pulling off such amazing stuff to hear this differences and for the entertainment. And that's what I really thoroughly enjoy about it, coming from, if you're looking at your 92, 93, 94 to, wow, 2002, massive difference. And within a 10-year or 12-year period, I would personally want to hear that. And there's nothing wrong with a band that might keep to their roots, like, say, AC/DC and whatever not. That's awesome. And Iron Maiden's got the similar thing. They still write new songs, but similar sound. But great stuff. So that's in my thing about what I feel about the music. Did you want to add about those chord progressions or other stuff I've missed out, or things you love about that music or that we need to know, John?
I wanted to refresh myself with this song because it's not on Prefer Others. It's pretty obscure too.
It is.
It's not on YouTube. I don't like the phased guitar at the start, that effect.
I love it. I understand. Okay. Yeah.
And that's just that's a matter of taste. That's a matter of taste,
it,
I guess.
It is.
And they don't really overdo that in their career, so I suppose I can't. Yeah, they can try new things. Just sounds very late 90s, this song, to me.
Okay.
I said the end reminds me, it goes a bit arena rock. I don't know what I mean by that, but the last.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. And once again, that's not a criticism, that's just notes. So it's in the key of A, I think. It's crisis time, come and stand in line. And then down to F sharp, minor or major, I can't remember, because I wanted to listen to the song again. But that's the same sort of chords, different melody, but the same chords as when the Tool went pro, different rhythm completely, yeah. And then the chorus is just D, A, D, A, D, A, F sharp, D, F sharp, E. That it's Hemlock, it's Small Talk, it's over now, and the backing vote, the oohs. I really like the chorus, actually. And then, yeah, you've mentioned the vocoder, that intro bit again, or whatever it is. And I said that reminds me a little bit of Eurozone to come in 2 decades' time. Mm-hmm. Reminds me a bit of that song. The music also reminds me a little bit of Get Fucked off the self-titled our album.
Oh.
The bit about, we are sick of being patronized. You know that bit?
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've listened to Get Fucked, but yeah. Remember to stay alert but not alone. Reminded me of this song a little bit. And that's all I've really got to say about the the music.
Okay, listeners, I've got the guitar here and I think I've worked it out. Little insight to you guys, I normally record these bits at the end of the episode when I've sort of worked out what the main chords blocked out are. So the song begins with that phasey guitar that I don't really like, but the intro is sort of on a, you know, A, F sharp, D, C sharp. But playing the song on guitar, the bare bones skeletons of the song, it's quite well constructed. I can't remember what I said in the episode proper, but I quite like it. So it's in the key of A. I don't know if they're full open cowboy chords or they're bar chords. I'm not quite sure, but it's A generally. It's crisis time, A. Come stand in line, F sharp minor. Get your Kool-Aid here. Then up to D. I will not fake. C sharp, optimism I. And then down to resolving on F sharp minor. Will not pretend good cheer. Back to A. We need a big rethink. We need a healthy drink. F sharp minor. Get your family round. D. Throw some things into a bag. C sharp, we're going to B. Take you to James. Take you to Jonestown. Alan Jones? Woohoo! And then a delicious chorus. It's hemlock D. It's small talk A. It's over now. D. It's tricky. Keep drinking. Time for a big rethink D. It's over A. F sharp. D. It's over. F sharp. E. It may have done that D, A, F sharp a few times. Yeah, it's that's pure pop. Maybe if Coxey had played it acoustically just on guitar, I'd like it a bit more. But yeah, there we are. The Big Rethink on Alan Jones.
Should we move on to lyrics, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm ready. We can go one by one. You can lead this one through because I don't have a few lot to say about it, but I might make a point on each certain lines here and there and ask some questions.
Okay. So with the title, you can obviously think of the cult of being in a band of brothers, the cult of being under the auspices of a major record label they've just left. You know, it's 2000 now. All that's gone. So maybe the Foves have to rethink what it is they want to achieve now that they're going to have a bit more of a modest future in writing and recording songs. They're not going to have that feather bed of the major label, so they're having the big rethink. Maybe we need to get real jobs now. Bill and Ted, we need to get real jobs.
yeah.
I did a quick Google, and there's a lot of TED Talks about big rethink and YouTube videos about the big rethink about paradigms and all that sort of thing, particularly over COVID, about how we want to live. But the lyrics themselves do talk about a cult because they mention Jonestown, mm-hmm. which is that okay. suicide cult in the 70s. So it's crisis time, come stand in line, get your Kool-Aid here. So Kool-Aid was the famous poison drink they took in Cordial and, you know, 30 of them mass suicide. Although it's always a, apparently it wasn't actually Kool-Aid. It was some, you know, generic cheap cordial, but it's been forever associated with Kool-Aid. Quick summary, everyone probably knows or can Google it. This cult from San Francisco went down to somewhere in Latin America with a charismatic leader. And when the FBI or when they were closing in on the cult compound, the leader, Alex Jones, convinced like a whole lot of them to sort of mass suicide by drinking poison strychnine, I think, which Coxey mentions in this song at the end. I might put a trigger warning actually on this episode at the start, but anyway. And some of them just, you know, they're obsessed with the leader and they just drank the mixture straight away. Some of them thought, hang on, what's happening? So they pretended they drunk it, pretended to fall down dead, and yeah, just a horrible tragedy. We need a big rethink. We need a healthy drink.
Okay, is that what? Oh, yeah. That makes sense now.
Yeah, Get your family round. So I always think round the compound. Mm-hmm. Show you around the compound. Yeah. Chorus, it's hemlock, it's small talk, it's over now. It's tricky, keep drinking, time for a big rethink. So some people thought, hang on, I'm here, but I don't want to die. Why do we have to mass suicide? Yeah. You want to change the topic. If it's misanthropic, then I'm on your side. So a lot of these cults were very gendered, like it's a charismatic male leader that has all these, you know, brainwashes all these women to adore him and everything. I think it's worth considering it may be time to die. This is very dark, Coxie, because if we had a chance, very dark. I like the metaphor of a band being a cult, but, yeah, it's a bit of a dark, song, yeah.
You know, I'm wondering, kind of wishing we didn't have this conversation because I never looked into the lyrics like that because I just think positive, big rethink, what's it going on about? My brain switches off sometimes with lyrics because I listen to so many songs and always new songs over the years enter into my brain. So I don't always get a chance to just dissect it or think what they're talking about. And especially a song like this, it's not on an album. It's heard every now and then with the three together and with these bunch of pesky little B-sides that are all over the place and disjointed. But I think because of the music's so big and kind of positive, I just think, the big rethink, let's move on and we need a healthy drink. Now, when you mention the Kool-Aid and all this stuff, I'm, gosh, that's what they mean by healthy drink. Oh, my goodness. But I just... Even though I've had this conversation with you, I can still think positively of it or go, Coxie, can you give me an instrumental version of this and maybe I'll find can you re-sing it or find someone to re-sing it? I'll re-sing it and we'll change a bit of the words, make it a bit positive and cover it up and we won't do it with vocoders because we'll sing in tune. Don't put that on the podcast. Oh, how could I say that? Blasphemy. Oh, we're all having fun. But yeah, interesting. Mm. It's dark. Sorry, it's dark. You go, yeah.
Concentrate on the last line about counting your blessings then, I guess. And maybe the big rethink is the people that thought, hang on, I didn't join up for this. I came down to, I joined a cult. I joined a group of people, but I'm not down for this. So I'm reconsidering my life. And let's imagine they got out of there and changed their life for the better and got obsessed with the foes. That's an obsession that provides no damage. That's a wonderful thing, being in the cult of a foes fan.
Yeah, that's the positive way to think about it. Yeah, at the end of the day. Yeah.
Well, Michael, many thanks for joining us on this episode.
Thank you very much, John. Thank you all, Foes, wonderful, amazing listeners. Please join in. I hope you end up on this episode because you've got a lot to say about this song. In previous episodes, you always hear me say, well, we want to hear about from anyone, any age, gender, race, living all over the world, whatever, whatever experiences you are, new or the last few years or the last 20, 30 plus years of the Foes, so we can hear your thoughts and ideas and different angles on any of the songs to have fun talking about our lovely podcast of the
Foes. Every B-side of the Foes is now complete.
Yay, those pesky little B-sides are all over and done.
Pesky little B-sides.
This is Alex here calling in about Big Rethink. I really like this Foes style of the meat and potatoes and Kool-Aid indie rock, propulsive, bit of electro elements, maybe a little bit of vocoder on some of the vocals. I thought that we might have left the compound behind after Doctors Show You Around the Compound. I really like that song, kind of comparing a family to a cult. This song is much more straightforward, borderline, like with the Foes, like often the lyrics can be a bit wry, social commentary. This borders on smug, I suppose, because... it's sort of the aspect of, you know, everyone kind of knows someone who gets really caught up in conspiracy theories or trying to make sense of, quite mean and chaotic world and can get seduced by charismatic people and cults.
So this is not overly sympathetic to how people can sometimes fall into that situation. I think particularly I kind of read it that way because the foes, correct me if I'm wrong, not being that politically active themselves. So yeah, I think this is sort of B-side material, and that was a good choice. You know, maybe if they'd worked up the lyrics a little bit more and, you know, the instrumentation, it could have been a cool and interesting song. But yeah, it's exactly what B-sides are made of.
For a melody, as it sits with lyrics, is a happy melody that has a sad lyric, or vice versa, you know. Kind of strikes me as funny that the melodies not only have meanings, they have subtext. Like a melody might be, well, that's a sad melody, it sounds like about loss. But the subtext is, this guy's a rich asshole. You know, that might be the subtext in the melodies. Like, you listen to it, it's like, it sounds like a douchebag, or it sounds like a lot of, someone's trying too hard to prove themselves, or they're physically just probably too driven that way, or something. You could hear something about
a love interest too.
Well, talking about different cities, I think it's time to move on to our final song. The Fogues, Dogs Are the Best People. Ain't no way now, there's a church, there is a steeple. Dogs are the best people. And they're from Melbourne, Australia, so representing Victoria.
We won't hold that against them.
This is another band like Pollyanna, probably right in the same category. They're not exactly well known or widely loved. Their best song is Dogs Are the Best People, and probably Self Abuser, which came out around the same time. And the lyrics of those two songs make you sort of think, oh, they're a comedy act. But although they use humor in their lyrics, they're much more than a comedy act. I did do a big dive into their albums, and I will now actually name them. This was the band that did Drive for Charisma, The Young Need to Spin, Future Spire, Lazy Highways, those two. They've got a good back catalogue, and they're still together today, and they're still, like Eskimo Joe, releasing music, and they're still largely an unchanged lineup. They did have one change.
I do. That's one thing I'll say I respect about them. These guys have done a certified butt ton of albums. There must have been, 14, 15 of them on that list. It was huge. I tried to find a bunch of their early songs. Fireman 451, When Luck Ran Out, and Daughter Aboard were listed as their first three singles. Couldn't find them. They do not seem to exist.
There was an album that was a merger of, I think it was called Famatronic, and it was a release of their first EPs. So they might be on that.
Well, so I am 99% sure I saw them live back in the mid 90s, 95, 96 range. But they were just a background band at the time. I guess they weren't famous. So I have no memory. Just remember the name as a band I've seen. But because of that, I paid some attention to them through the days. And Dogs Are the Best People was obviously a song we all, I think, remembered at the time. But what it turns out is I never remember just how bad this song is. It's absolute crap. This is the worst song we've talked about on the show so far.
Yeah, I struggle with this song.
Peter Andre would do it better.
That is a shots fired, Mario. That is, wow.
The only positive I have to say about this song is that I also like dogs.
Yeah, I think that's why people like the song, is because of that. The film, I remember the film clip being...
Yeah, so do I. I remember it vaguely as well.
Really. I just want to say that the main chorus line of "Here's a church, here's a steeple" does not make any sense, and it's only there so it rhymes with people.
Absolutely right. It's the songwriting that the first game I ran for you guys that you would have said that's really bad. You could even, you know, that's obviously a Mario lyric if it's that bad.
I think you could write better lyrics than that. That's very bad. But I think it's because it says dog.
Sorry, what was that, Richard?
Did you hear this? Did you listen to the song "Don't Get Death Threats Anymore"?
I did not.
That's one that I remember from the time, and I always thought that was a better song. Self Abuser, I thought, was a better song as well. I actually went back and just played through their albums, and Surf City Limits was a really well-known song as well, and Charles Atlas Way was kind of known. So that was the album after the one that we were doing. And, yeah, There was some Lazy Highways, I think was the one that had Surface City Limits on it. I actually, a lot of their music I discovered that I liked, but I actually never liked this particular song all that much. So I have to agree, if you didn't go back and do some of their other stuff, you probably not going to have the best opinion of this band.
Self Abuser was the follow-up to Dogs, and I agree. To me, it sounded like about 20 different post-grunge American bands, but that being said, I quite enjoyed it. Those two songs in the same year hit 20 and 30 on the Hottest 100. The only song I would say I genuinely liked by these guys was Marble Arse.
An excellent song. Crashing Ball, which was the first. So Crashing Ball was the first song on Drive Through Charisma. There was that Hit the Youth, which is really just did not like that at all. And then Marble Arse was very, very good. So that
It had a good riff.
Yeah.
It was a nice, flowing, consistent riff that was the sort of thing that I enjoy. I'm not in no way that sound like a Malcolm Young riff, but it had just gave me that feeling of a Malcolm Young riff where it's just super consistent for a long time, and when you've got something good, keep doing it. So only comparing them to AC/DC in that one small way.
I think if you listen to the first couple of albums, Drive Through Charisma and Young New Discipline, you kind of get the feeling they're a band who really haven't nailed down who they are yet. They jump around. So there's one song they're doing art rock, the next one they're doing jangle pop, the next one they're doing shoegaze, the next one they're doing sort of quasi metal, the next one, you know, then they're doing rock and roll. And it's just like they don't seem to, you can't have an album that has like 15 different bloody genres on it. And it's, though I like the music individually, as a cohesive unit, it doesn't work. So
I think if they'd been American, they would have had record companies lining up for them in 1995 just to get in on the, you know, with the whole Kurt dying, record companies throwing money at the wall, just trying to find the new Kurt. They would have heard this sort of dour, depressing sound and said, oh, he sounds depressed. Let's go for it.
Yeah, by the time they get to Future Spa, they've kind of worked things out a bit, and there is a much more cohesive sort of grunge sound to it. You're absolutely right in that respect. So there is that, they have kind of gotten worked out for 5 minutes, and that was probably the 5 minutes when they were most successful, right? They nailed their sound, and then, yeah, after that, I think time moved away from who they were.
I feel like there's probably a good story behind this band, but it's just not that easy to find because they're just not well known enough.
I read that they played their first gig on the 23rd of July 1988 at a local football club. Andrew Cox, who's a vocalist, said, "We learned more about rock and roll in that one night than the entire preceding 20 years. We sucked piss, made eyes at cheap football tarts, and bonded like four buckets of superglue. We also learned how to compromise, how to sell out, how to get fucked over. There was no rider, we were underpaid, and no one got laid. It was a microcosm of an entire career." And if you actually go onto their website and look at their latest release, I don't know if you looked that up. Did you listen to any of the?
I did. I couldn't enjoy them enough to go to their newer stuff. I thought it was just too far removed from anything current to be relevant, from anything we were talking about.
I did listen to a couple of songs, and there was one that I thought was okay, which was, what was it? Tell Someone Who Gives a Fuck. I thought that was actually pretty good. But they did say that they went to Bali to record their latest album because it was like an unusual thing and not many Australians go there. They want you to do something different.
That sounds tongue-in-cheek.
Very much so. They said their new album, they've got discs which are compact in nature and playable only on a new type of cutting-edge technology called a CD player. We've only pressed 150,000 copies of this new format and they're sure to sell out. Again, they're a humorous band and I think that comes across in some of their stuff. So anyway, they sold 15,000 copies of their best-selling album. 15,000. They played 140 shows to promote their album. Averages at 107 albums per show played.
It's, I mean, you got to admire, you have to admire that that's their most they've sold, and yet they're still going. So obviously they're making enough money. They enjoy making music together. And I've got to respect that, even if I don't have to ever listen to any of their music again.
I think I'll play some of their music again in the future, but it won't be possibly this song. It'll be some of their other stuff.
I think that's totally fair.
David?
Yeah, no, I'm listening along, and I'm still saying that rhyme is dumb.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have voted for Dogs Are the Best People because I like dogs, but the song I just can't get over that. I listened to it again today. I always thought it wasn't a great song, but when I listened to it again today, I was like, my God, these lyrics are so dumb.
Yeah, it was worse. The music's not so bad, but the vocals
music's
are terrible.
Fine. Musically,
the
it just goes,
bad and the lyrics
do, 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 do. It's very simple. I couldn't play it because I'm not a guitarist, but like they...
Yeah, I like that. I like that nasty sort of dirty sound.
Yeah. I'm going to say it's still a good song. I'm pretty happy with... Like, I still don't think it's a bad song. I just, that lyric stands out to me now, and so I can't vote for it because I don't agree with that lyric.
I love that.
Otherwise, that was going to be my vote. I was actually seriously going to vote for that, and then I was like, oh, hold on. I don't know if I can vote for this now. All right, well, anyway.
I mean, ultimately, I think the Phobes is where it belongs, voteless in last place.
I still think their catalogue is well worthy of a listen for anybody who wants a bit of a musical, you know, something different.
I might try it again. I remember Self Abuse. I remember thinking that was not a bad song too. So maybe I should
check out
back.
My Marvel Ask David. That one, I thought that was the best song by them.
I'll try that.
I found. I didn't listen to every song, but I listened to a bunch.
There's like 13 albums worth. I don't know. Yeah. to be.
This episode is dedicated to those people who drank the Eskimo Joe Kool-Aid.